Good evening. Can I give you my own welcome to the Gospel meeting this evening? Thank you very much for taking the time to come along. Thanks for the warm welcome and the invitation to be here. The only thing you need to know about me, I suppose, is that my only authority for standing here and preaching the Gospel is that I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Saviour. I would like us to read, please, in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 20. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry about it. We'll try and read clearly. There's just a short section of the Scriptures that we want to read together. This is the most important part of the meeting. We believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. It's what God has to say to you and to me today, and whatever is said about it later, this is the thing to sit up and take notice of. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 20, and I want to read from verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and that's the Lord Jesus. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still, and called them, and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. And God will add a blessing to the reading of his word this evening. I want for a few moments this evening to interest you in two men at the side of the road out of Jericho to Jerusalem, an incident that we read from the Bible that occurred 2,000 years ago. And you might be saying, in 2007, what relevance does this incident from the Bible have to me and to my life and to my circumstance and my context? And I would like, with the help of God this evening, to go through this little incident that we've read and try and draw some lessons from it. Overall, this incident is an example of the liberty and the change that can be brought into our life by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the start of the meeting this evening, can I be very clear so you don't misunderstand me and you don't misunderstand where I'm going in the preaching this evening? They were not in the business of peddling a religion or a creed or the gospel hall or prayers or good works or anything like that this evening. We're in the business of preaching a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel meeting exists to tell men and women about the good news, the great news, that there is a God in heaven who loves men and women and boys and girls. He loves them so much that he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, not just to live a good life, and not just to live as an example, but he sent his Son, so that his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, could and was willing to die, and offer men and women and boys and girls a way back to God. I don't know if you've heard the gospel before. There might be things we say this evening that are unpalatable, that you find unacceptable, but we're not trying to peddle our own ideas. And what we say this evening, we will endeavour to ensure is based on the Word of God. This incident is at a very important time in the Gospel of Matthew. We broke in at the beginning of chapter 20, and what has happened is that the Lord Jesus Christ has been telling his disciples about the fact that he must go and that he must die at the cross of Calvary. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ voluntarily chose to die at the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't have to die because he was a sinner. for he had never done anything that was wrong. And at the start of the meeting, I would like to remind all of us that the Lord Jesus Christ died because he loved people like you and me. The Lord Jesus Christ died at Calvary to make a way back to God for sinners like you and me. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you read chapter 20, you will find that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples, those that followed him, about the fact he has to go, and because he loves, and because he's going to do the things that pleases his Father, he's going to go and he's going to die and he's going to suffer at the hands of men. And you know, in this momentous statements are being made, in the midst of it all, we read that his disciples were arguing one with the other about who would be the greatest between them. You know, they weren't arguing about whether they would be greater than the Lord Jesus, for they knew that could never be true. But they were arguing with each other about whether this one would be greater than the other. And you say, that was an awful thing. But you see, it was just a little picture of the true character of man that's in both you and me this evening. I want to, I've already used the word a couple of times this evening. If we're to draw lessons from this story, this incident that we've read about the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll have to understand that we have a problem just as these two men had. This problem, this disease, manifests itself in many ways in our life. It came out in the disciples in the way that they argued about who would be the greatest. And it might come out in your thoughts and in your mind in completely different ways this evening, but that problem is there. That problem is sin. What is sin? Sin is anything that I think or do that falls short of the standard that God has set. Listen to what the Bible says, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Listen again, Romans chapter 6. For the wages of sin is death. And we have a difficulty. And I don't know what's caused you to be listening to the gospel this evening. But it may be that you've come to appreciate in your life that you have sins that need to be dealt with. Well, here's two men that met the Lord Jesus Christ. We began by reading that as they departed from Jericho. I've said already that the Lord Jesus Christ had been speaking to his disciples about the fact he would have to go and suffer and die at Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus Christ was around the age of 33 when we read these verses. He had been preaching to the men and women of Galilee and this part of Israel about the need to repent, about the need to get right with God for around 3 years. And for the last time, as far as we know, he was passing through from Jericho on the road to Jerusalem. Can I just make a very simple point? That this was the last time that these two blind men, as we'll call them, who were sitting by the side of the Jericho road, would ever get the chance to meet the man called Jesus Christ. I want to say there's no message like the gospel. There's no message of hope. There's no message of peace like the gospel of Christ. That people like you and me who deserve the lake of fire eternally, the torment and the punishment of hell, through belief in Jesus Christ, can be fitted for heaven and have our sins forgiven. There's nothing like it. But the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And the gospel comes to us this evening, perhaps for the first time, perhaps for the 100th time. But the gospel is urgent. At the start of the meeting, can I just paint a hypothetical picture?
We would say it would be incredible to think that these two men, if they believed that Jesus Christ could heal them from their blindness, would have let him pass by, would have let him walk on without stopping them. Can I suggest that there is something far more incredible than that? In Fife this evening, there are thousands of people who believe that there was a man called the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe he was different. They may even believe that he can impact on their circumstance. Some of them may even understand that he can impact on their eternal destiny. And yet hundreds and thousands allow, as it were, the Lord Jesus Christ to walk past them on the Jericho Road without doing anything about it. I wonder if you've been confronted by God before in the Gospel. I wonder if you've paused to think that opportunities may be passing you by. That it might not be too long before the last opportunity is gone. And whether it is the Lord Jesus Christ returns to take the Christians home, or expectedly or unexpectedly, you breathe your last breath and enter into the great and the long eternity. Have you stopped to consider that God's offer of mercy is not always going to be available? You know, we read that a great multitude followed the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, what a wonderful thing that there was a great multitude, and he knew about two blind men at the side of the road. There is no one who is too great to be saved, for we all need salvation. We all need forgiveness from our sins, this dirty canker, this filth that prevents us from entering into the presence of God and will stop us from entering heaven. But there is no one too small. There is no one too poor for God. There is no one too sinful for salvation. There are no social barriers. There are no racial barriers with the Gospel of Christ. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. What does that mean? Listen, the Gospel is open to whosoever, to anyone, to everyone this evening. God's love knows no bounds. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ was interested in two helpless men at the side of the Jericho Road, he's interested in you, and he's interested in me. It may be, I don't know, you may be of great standing in the local community. You may be a nobody as far as anyone else is concerned. It matters not. The Bible says, rich and poor are met together. The Lord is the maker of them all, the wise man said. And he's interested in you. Well, here are these two men. They were blind. What do we learn from that? Well, in the Bible, the idea of physical blindness is often a picture of a deeper spiritual problem. And I want to apply it in that way this evening. Here are two men. They have no sight. They could do nothing for their income, it seems, but apart from beg at the side of the Jericho Road. No social security, no welfare state in those days. They begged for their livelihood. Men with no future. Men looked down upon. Men who were despised, as far as we can understand from other gospel accounts. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ had time for them. I want to be very clear what the Bible says about us and our sins. There is nothing good. There is nothing to be gloried in my sins, in the way I am naturally before God. When I was born, and as I grew up, I started to sin. We all did. I didn't become a sinner the day I committed the first sin. I sinned because I was a sinner. It was my nature. I had a sinful nature to do things that were disobedient from God. And so did you. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says all our righteousnesses, all the things that we do to dress up our sin, all the good works that we can do, all the things we do to try and look better, we have to God as filthy rags. There is nothing, the Bible says, acceptable
about me because of my sin. The gospel is a message of good news, but the gospel is a message of warning. You know, worst case scenario for these two men was that they died, perhaps through poverty because of their blindness. Spiritual blindness has worse consequences than that. The consequences of spiritual blindness are not just physical death, not just the body being buried in a cemetery or burnt in a crematorium. The consequences of spiritual blindness are eternal damnation and punishment in the lake of fire. You see, why is that? What I'm trying to emphasize this evening is absolute righteousness, the holiness of God, the fact that God loves you, but he cannot and will not tolerate sin. There is no need for anyone in this meeting, or in Levi, or in Fife this evening to ever be in hell. But thousands will be, because they have died without having their sins dealt with. Here are these two men. They can do nothing for themselves, but then the Lord Jesus Christ passed by. I wonder if there's someone in the meeting who thinks that they can do something for themselves. The reason that you can do nothing for yourself and I can do nothing for myself is that we are all sinners. There is no pastor or preacher or pope who can do anything for your sin. The reason for that is that every man and every woman has exactly the same problem as you and I, the sin problem. But there was a man who never had that problem, a man who was different, a man who was unique, the man that we've read about, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we had read on in Matthew's Gospel, we would have read about the fact that he moved on towards the cross. We sang about Calvary this evening. We have sung about the fact that he shed his blood. What does it mean for you and for me? The Lord Jesus Christ chose to die. Thank God my salvation is not dependent on what men did to him. He died, he was crucified at the cross of Calvary, but then, in 3 hours of darkness, God the Father judged the Lord Jesus Christ for sin. What does that mean? The Bible says that he bore the penalty for sin. He suffered, the just one, so that we, the unjust ones, the ones that didn't deserve to be delivered, the ones that didn't deserve to be saved, could be saved from the wrath of God for the whole of eternity. The Bible says he was made a sin offering for us. He was punished so that I didn't need to be punished. You say, how does that make a person a Christian? Well, let's be clear. The Lord Jesus Christ died so that men and women could be saved, so that they could become Christians as we speak about. But the fact of his death alone will not save you. You say, what do you mean? Well, I am going to heaven this evening, not because of anything I've done, and not because I'm saying so, but the Bible says, I'm going to heaven, and millions like me are, because I believed, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm depending on him for eternity. You say, what do you mean? Well, when he died for me. You see, to come back to it, we read about a multitude this evening, hundreds, thousands, who saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Only two men had this interaction, this incident on the Jericho Road. There are thousands and millions who believe in the facts of the gospel, if I can call them that. They believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died. They may even believe that they're on their way to a lost eternity and they need to have their sins forgiven. But they've never made it personal. They've never believed that when he died for me. He's my substitute. He suffered in my place. You can only say that if you've trusted him, if you've believed in him.
What does the Bible say about getting saved, about this business of salvation, of getting deliverance from the penalty of sin? The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. There's no doubt about it. Well, here's these two men. We read that they heard that Jesus passed by and they cried out. It was a priority for them. We read further on that they continued to cry. Salvation is not going to fall into your lap. Can I tell you, suggest that respectfully. The salvation isn't just going to happen for you. Before I came down the road this afternoon, I was speaking to another, a friend, about a young man who's attended our gospel meeting at home in Capote for 2 or 3 years on and off. He knows everything there is to know, in one sense, about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knows how to be saved. He knows why he needs to be saved. But it's not a priority for him. See these two men at the side of the Jericho Road? All they wanted more than anything in their life was to be able to see. They must have wondered what it would be like if the day ever came. They could hardly imagine it, the day when they could see. Again, the day when they could see things clearly. And they went with the opportunity passing by. I sometimes wonder as I look down into faces in gospel meetings about what it is that holds people back. About what it is that stops people from making salvation their big priority, the big thing. There are lots of things. For these men, it could have been the multitude who told them to shut up, to be quiet, to let the Saviour pass on. And maybe for you, it's family, it's workmates. It could be absolutely anything this evening. But the fact remains that unless the gospel, unless salvation becomes a priority, you'll not get it. Salvation should be a priority. You know, we've spoken at length this evening about the consequences of sin, the problem of the sinner facing a lost eternity. And your life being as fragile as mine, before the clock ticks to 7:15 this evening, you could be out into a lost eternity. And where would it be for you? Heaven or hell? Hope, peace, enjoyment, prosperity, or a wasted life? Not because you needed to be there, but because the gospel, because salvation was not the priority that it should have been. You know, they cried out, they understood that the Saviour was the only one that could save them. And we've spoken about that this evening. But as they cried out, we read these words, that Jesus stood still. You know, elsewhere in the Gospel, we read that the Pharisees, they were speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ in a negative way, and he said this about them, this man, he receiveth sinners. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ does receive sinners. I'm glad about that this evening. And he's willing to receive any that will come unto him. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, we love to preach on the invitations in the gospel. And he says this, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this evening, he added, take my yoke upon me. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy. Burden is light. You know, he is interested. He's interested in men and women and boys and girls and Fife. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to come unto him. He has invited you to come to him, to turn away from your sins, to leave them behind, and come and repenting. That means leaving your sin behind you, turning away from it, seeing it for what it is, and all its filth, and all the way it's dragging you down to him, and turn to him to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood still. He had time for these two men at the side of the Jericho road, and he said to them, "What will you have me to do?" But there was only one thing that they wanted him to do, and that was that they could see again. You know, there's only one thing that you should be looking for this evening. You know, people pray to God in extremity of circumstance. You are in the very extreme circumstance this evening. If you're not saved, you need salvation, and he's willing to give it to you. You know, he healed them, and he can heal you this evening. He can heal your spiritual blindness, and he can give you eternal life if you'll only believe in him. If we read earlier on in the chapter, Matthew pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, told a parable about a man who owned land and hired workers, some at the third hour, some at the sixth hour, some at the ninth hour, and then at the 11th hour he went back into the marketplace. He was looking for more men to work, and at the 11th hour there were still men standing with him, idle. And the parable goes, you can read it for yourself. The Lord Jesus Christ says that the good man of the house said, "Why stand you here all the day idle, the 11th hour, nearly the end of the working day, and not in the vineyard working?" You know, it may be, in another context, that it is the 11th hour for someone in the meeting this evening. What does that mean? 60 minutes to go and not right with God. It may not be an hour literally. It may not be a day, a week, a month, a year. But you are not guaranteed another opportunity to listen to the message of the gospel. There's nothing special about the preacher. There's nothing special about the preacher. But there is something unique about the man who has preached. And he loves you enough that he came to die for you. And the question you have to answer this evening is behind me, what think you of Christ? For if you walk out that door this evening and you spurn him again, you are turning your face against God and saying, "He's not good enough for me." There is no sitting in the fence when it comes to God's salvation. It's either for you or it's not for you. And with all the grace and love I can muster this evening, I would implore you to think carefully about your soul salvation. To think about the fact that the Bible says it's the most important thing you ever have to decide about. And just like two blind men who had nothing else to depend on, who just waited and got a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ at the side of the Jericho road, maybe tonight this could be like the Jericho road. You would just be willing to forget trying to depend on anything else and trust him to be your saviour. Shall we pray? Father, we do ask that thou would take away anything of man this evening. We ask that thou would take up thy word and mighty power. We ask, O God, that thou would be pleased to work and to save souls, and that some soul might trust Christ as their saviour as a result of the preaching. We ask that thou would part us with thy blessing as we return our thanks for him in his lovely name. Amen. We may maybe sing a hymn.